Hello, it's Micah from Flicks and Clicks. Just want to let you know you're about to embark on part two of our ranked Star Wars experience. If you have not listened to part one, I suggest going back one episode, listening to part one, and then catching up on this episode and finishing it out. In part one, we did our bottom five episodes, ranging from least to best, and in this episode, we will start at our number four favorite and go 3, 2, and 1. We hope you have as much fun listening to it as we did recording it. Enjoy, and thanks for being a Star Wars nerd.
Truth is, I am Iron Man.
Lieutenant Dan!
Inconceivable!
Got a bad feeling about this.
My number four is episode four, A New Hope. That is my number four in my list. This movie is a straight-up classic, man. It's Star Wars. If there's any of the Star Wars movies that you can watch by themselves without, you know, anything else, it's this movie. At the end of The Force Awakens, there's a big cliffhanger. She meets Luke Skywalker, and they start each other, and she holds the lightsaber out, and a drone flies around them, watching them. And then the music goes. So it's like, wow, they didn't even meet. Well, in this movie, there's literally, in A New Hope, there is a ceremony at the end. And so it really seems like a complete movie. You don't need another one, and you really don't. And in that sense, it is the most complete, from beginning to end, Star Wars movie ever. It doesn't need another one. I'm really glad they made eight more, but A New Hope doesn't need a second one. The trench run is iconic and so cool. Stay on target, almost there. All that stuff is just so nostalgic to me. It's the one I watched the most as a kid. I think Luke is pretty whiny in this movie, which is fine. He's a kid who's been moisture farming his whole life. I would be pretty whiny too. He just wants to go to the Tashi station to get some power converters, but his dumb uncle is like, "Now you're going to have to drink some blue milk and help me and all the other dumb robots moisture farm. Farm moisture." Sounds awful, okay? Tatooine's cool, but of all the things, why don't you go be a pod racer or shoot more womp rats, okay, instead of moisture farming? Sounds so lame. So it makes sense to me why Luke is whiny. However, he's still whiny, and that's kind of lame. But it's okay, because he's a kid. Anyway, moving on from him being whiny. When he says, when he takes off his helmet after, she's like, "Aren't you a little short to be a stormtrooper?" And he goes, "I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you." I love it. It's like the coolest little line. He's like, "I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you." Just like a little boy. And she's like, "Excuse me?" Yeah, so awesome. Little does anyone else know that they are the same age. She's not older than him. They're twins. Mind's blown. Here we go. I also enjoy the history around Star Wars, and that all starts with this movie. In 1977, George Lucas was trying to do something completely new and completely different, and a lot of his friends were like, "You're crazy, and it's never going to work." And Steven Spielberg was like, "You're crazy, and it might not work, but I'm going to back you anyways, and I think it might actually pan out." He was the one who was like, "Maybe you're not as crazy as they say you are." That's for those reasons. A New Hope is it intros characters so darn well, too. Mm-hmm. You just love every character at the end. And when you think about, I remember my dad saying, because he saw this in a theater for the first time in 1977 when he was in his 20s, and he was like, it was the most phenomenal science fiction movie he had ever seen. He was like, the visuals were phenomenal, the special effects were out of this world, and the characters were insane and so cool. And he said, there was nothing else like it in 1977. And that to me is so cool, because to this day it still holds up as a very, like, one of the most beloved science fiction movies of all time. And that is why I love A New Hope and why it is number four on my list. Tyler, number four.
Number four on my list is actually Return of the Jedi. And I'm going to put, as I start to get into the original trilogy, I know we're going to talk about trilogies, but we have to take into account the fact that these came out a long time ago. And so when we're trying to put them up against all of these other ones that have insane visual effects, for its time, Star Wars had the best of the best visual effects. They had cutting edge. Literally, Lucasfilm came up with their own Skywalker Ranch, just amazing visual effects. So, what is it? Keelan, help me out. What is the visual effects studio?
Oh, ILM, Industrial Light and Magic.
ILM, Industrial Light and Magic. That's mm-hmm. what it is, yeah. They are the ones that came up with a lot of the space scenes and all that stuff. Stuff to do with miniatures and ships.
Didn't Pixar come out of that?
Eventually, yeah. Yeah, after,
yeah,
after
eventually
the original
Pixar,
trilogy.
Like the Pixar came out of
they
that.
They sold
yeah.
it to Disney, yeah. Anyway.
Yep. The Pixar program was like, yeah, that's not ours to tell, I guess. You could go watch, what's the documentary
Empire of
now
Dreams.
On
documentary on Disney
it's
Plus.
It's the best documentary yep.
Empire of
ever
Dreams.
To come out.
It's so good.
Yeah. Keelan and I watched that in a sense because of the behind the scenes footage we used to watch all the time. That would run on loop endlessly
yep.
until we woke up in the morning. So we shared a room growing up, if you didn't know. So yeah, Return of the Jedi is number four for me. And the reason for that is literally because I have a number one and I know where I stand on that last trilogy in terms of which ones I like the most. And I have way, way, way too much respect. I'll be honest with all of you guys, okay? It's just too much respect for A New Hope. For it. Just, I have too much respect for it. The fact that it's the first is a big deal to me. The fact that it's the first is a really, really big deal. So anyway, Return of the Jedi is number four for me. I think it does a lot of good things. I really, really like the opening of this one. I think it's so cool. I think it's like, there's so many things. So you're left on this huge cliffhanger. Han Solo is frozen in carbonite. You find out that Darth Vader is Luke's father. You're freaking spinning. You're spinning on all these things. And the first thing you see is, again, droids in the desert. I think that's really cool. And the way that it ends up, I mean, obviously, you always open up with a ship over a planet. That's a Star Wars thing. But I just think it's really cool. There's so much mystery surrounding the opening to this movie. You don't know exactly why you're where you are. You don't know who people are because they're masked. You don't know why the droids are doing what they're doing. You're like, what? How did they get there? There's so much mystery surrounding the beginning of it. I think it's really cool. I do think it's a really good end to a trilogy. I think it has a little bit of the Force Awakens syndrome. And what I mean by that is it's a little bit repetitive. Like, they couldn't think of anything else besides coming up with another Death Star. I just, you know, I mean, the whole original trilogy suffers from that to a certain extent. But I like it. But there's also pieces of it that I don't like. And it's really cool. If you think about it, Emperor Palpatine has a small piece, if anything, in A New Hope. And then he kind of gets a little bit more prominence, and then all of a sudden he's this huge deal. And I think that's really cool. I was really hoping Snoke would be like that to a certain extent, and he gets absolutely destroyed. And that just really ticked me off. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's a good end to a trilogy. You guys are going to have more to say on this one. I think this speaks to the fact that it's the lowest one on the list of the original trilogy that I don't have very much to say about it. So I'll leave the rest to you guys.
Keelan.
Number four for me is Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. This movie, oh man, the music is fantastic. It's the most consistently bombastic soundtrack of the entire series, in my opinion. Almost every track is a banger, in my opinion. And when I say that, I mean, like, everything is just so huge and so, yeah, like, it's so recognizable. That being said, this movie had a lot of pressure on it to portray the turn of Anakin Skywalker into Darth Vader, and I think they absolutely butchered it. It is the, like, it makes no sense. He, in one scene, he's like, oh man, Emperor Palpatine is the Emperor? I gotta kill him. And then the next scene, he's like, no, I should save him. And then he says, no, wait, hold on. Mace Windu, you gotta go kill Palpatine. And then he goes to kill Palpatine. He's like, wait, hold on, Mace Windu, stop doing that. And Mace Windu's like, no, he's the evilest person in all of the land. And he's like, I know, but just stop. And then he kills Mace Windu. And then he's like, oh man, what have I done? And, you know, say what you will about Hayden Christensen as an actor. I think he's fine. I think the direction, George Lucas is famous for saying he does not like to work with actors. If you're a director and you don't like to work with actors, don't be a director. You know, be a producer, be a writer, do something else, have someone else work with the actors. I think Hayden Christensen is a fine actor. I think he was given a crap script and a crap direction. That being said, I mean, the action is fantastic. I think if you can fill in the blank spaces, you know, it's at the end, Obi-Wan has that line, you were my brother, Anakin, I loved you. In the movies, there's no time when Obi-Wan and Anakin are on the same page. They're always at odds with each other. 100% of the time. And then you're supposed to feel sympathy for the fact that they are against each other at the end of this movie. Like, who? It just makes no sense. If you watch Clone Wars, that's one thing, and you see the relationship be fleshed out, that's fine. But it just, Darth Vader is my favorite character in all of cinema ever. And the fact that this is how his creation was handled is just a bit of a bummer for me. That being said, I was a kid when this came out, so I ate this up as a kid. I loved it. It was so cool. But you know, at the same time, it was like, it's hard to buy that Anakin Skywalker flips this easily. Like, between scenes, it just, I don't know. It was handled very poorly in my decision. Duel of the Fates, Anakin versus Obi-Wan is my favorite fight, visually, and even with the music and their acting, I think emotionally it does everything it's supposed to do. It's great. But if you put that, you know, if you look at the rest of the prequel trilogy, or even the beginning of episode 3, it doesn't add up. I think episode 3, if you take it like arc by arc or scene by scene, it's serviceable, and it does what it's supposed to do. It's just if you start to look at the bigger picture, it starts to lose its weight, and it's not that great. Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, I think, is fantastic. He's very sassy. It's awesome. You see that progression throughout the sequel trilogy. He becomes increasingly more sassy throughout the whole thing.
And he has better hair in this one.
Oh, fantastically better hair. This is something I've been saying since my senior year in high school. Ewan McGregor is one of the only people who gets more and more attractive as they age. I don't know how it works, but
he looked pretty weird when he was younger. You're kind of right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super excited for the Obi-Wan series coming up. But I think the visuals, the action, and the music were top notch. It was fantastic. I just think the major story beats that this movie tried to portray just fell short of the mark. That being said, it is my number 4, so can't be that bad. Moving on.
JP, number 4.
Number 4 is Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. This was my introduction to Star Wars, actually. My grandpa had like a birthday party, and one of the things was like we were in a limo with him, and I just remember that there was this movie playing in the limo, and it was The Phantom Menace. I was like 6 years old, and I'm like, what is this movie? This guy is awesome. And it was Darth Maul fighting with the double lightsaber. Like, it was the last scene was my introduction to Star Wars, and I'm like,
that's awesome. This is amazing. That's so cool.
And my dad turns to us and goes, yeah, that's Star Wars. Like, I have on VHS the original series. And we're like, what? What is this? Like, why have we never watched this? And so that night we went home and we watched episodes 4 and 5. And then we watched episode 6 the next day or something like that, that weekend. And so that was my introduction to Star Wars. And that's one of the reasons why Phantom Menace is so high. It's just nostalgia. It was my introduction to Star Wars. And that last scene, I remember, like, after we watched episodes 4, 5, and 6, we wanted to go rent episode 1 because we didn't own it. So we went down to Blockbuster and we rented it. And we probably watched it in the span of 3 days at least 5 or 6 times. We watched it on repeat. But it was, like, I love the last battle between Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon and Darth Maul. The music, like, as I get older, the music just gets better. Like, when I was younger, I was like, eh, who cares about music? But as I get older, I'm like, the music that plays in the background of movies, I notice so much more now. And so that scene was a scene that I always loved, but now it's just makes it even better. Anytime I watch the pod race, I wish I had a pod racer. I mean, and I think that's every person ever. If you don't like pod racers,
what is wrong with you?
You don't have a heartbeat or something. I don't know. It's like, yeah. So every time I watch that part, I'm just like, I relate because I was 6 years old when I watched it. So Anakin is this 8, 9-year-old kid. And I'm like, I could be him. And so I was like, I could be a pod racer. So I love that movie. The Gungans, like Tyler said, like, I think Jar Jar Binks was the funniest character in the world because I was a 6, 7-year-old kid and I was just like, dude, this guy's hilarious. And even though the dialogue, like, as I get older, I was like, wow, these lines are really cheesy and the Gungans really aren't that funny and Jar Jar's not that great. I still, like, think back to when I was a kid. And so that's why Phantom Menace is in my top 4. But like I said before, my top 5 is changing all the time other than number 1. But Phantom Menace is my number 4. That's it. Top 3. Here we go.
Here we go, man. Top 3. Wow. Jaja, give me that booba. Miss no have the booba.
It's called a booba.
Main gooberfish.
Hot take. I also really don't mind Jar Jar. I think he's fine. I don't get all the internet hate against Jar Jar.
In episode 2, he's him. Kind of like, it's like, okay.
He's
why,
like smart in why, episode
why,
2.
Yeah, why is he there? Like, that's the,
I think it made him not funny.
I feel
like George Lucas heard all the hate and was like, you know what? Okay, fine. He'll just be like a senator.
We'll make him distinguished senator.
He'll be the diplomat.
Yeah.
Makes sense for the goofy, absolute
this
idiot
a big
to booba. Be the diplomat.
We give all the power to the Supreme Chancellor. Oh, my
goodness. Emergency powers to the Supreme.
Okay. We are in top 3. So how we're going to do this is we're going to all do our top 3. And then after that, we're going to do 2 and 1 around. So I will go first.
Wait.
We're going to do the third one.
Number 3.
And then we're going to do a top 2 at the same time.
Oh, okay. We're not doing top 3 all at once.
Did I say top 3?
You did.
Well, you said that, and then you said we're not going to do that.
Okay, but just hear what I mean, not what I say, okay? Just get over it, okay? Number 3 for me is episode 6, Return of the Jedi. I like this movie a lot, and now you know what my top 2 Star Wars movies of all time are, and neither one of those are A New Hope or Return of the Jedi. So that means one of the not original trilogies in my top 2. So get with it. That's where I'm at. Number 6, Return of the Jedi. Han Solo coming out of carbonite when he can't see anything is hilarious, and he's like stumbling around, and it's pretty great. And he's trying to save Lando from the Sarlacc. Good stuff. Luke has a green lightsaber and he's dressed in black and he looks all grown up and fancy. And he's like, I'm Jedi Knight. And that's epic. And the whole opening sequence of everything. I'm sorry. I just really got you with that, Tyler.
I'm Jedi Knight.
Doesn't he say that in his little hologram thing?
He's like, I'm Luke Skywalker.
I'm Luke Skywalker, Jedi Knight. Anyway.
Yeah, but he doesn't say, I'm Jedi Knight.
I'm Jedi Knight.
It's the incorrect grammar that makes me laugh so much.
There are pig people in this movie that are pretty great. There's a big pet rancor thing, which you wouldn't know it was called a rancor if you're a normal person, but I'm not really normal. I know way too much about Star Wars. But there's that giant thing with three fingers who's like, and he tries to grab at Luke, and that whole scene is really cool. Jabba's palace is just a cool place. Mm-hmm. It's just really interesting and like gross, but you're like, I kind of want to hang out there at the same time. And yeah, man, just the whole first sequence of them like stealing Han Solo back is so cool. And he's like blind and can't see anything, and Chewie's like, trying to talk to him and wake him up, and he's like, Chewie, I can't see anything. I don't know, man. I love this movie. It has, if you ask me, the coolest locations in Star Wars, except for maybe Hoth. Hoth is awesome. But I think other than that, Jabba's Palace on Tatooine is awesome. And Endor is so cool. And all the things that happen on Endor with Han Solo, like tricking those guys into... tricking the bad guys into coming out so that he can go in and like set the charges, and all that stuff is so awesome. And the chicken walker coming up, and they're like putting their hands up, but it's really Chewie driving it. I love it. It's awesome. All the little Ewoks are hilarious, and I don't think they take away from anything. I think they really just add a lot of cute factor, which is fine, but they're also like warriors, and they kill a couple of the walkers, which is totally cool. And Wicket, he's like, oh yeah, ho do wah. It's pretty great. There's just lots of good sound effects. And I think the conclusion is great. And to me, I think this is a lot more different than A New Hope than a lot of other people think it is. Just because of the different things that characters are doing. And I think Leia really comes into her own in this movie. And she's one of my favorite characters. In the second... of the original trilogy, she really, you know, is kind of just mad for like the first part because she doesn't like Han, and or she does, but it's confusing anyway. But she really is a really enjoyable character in Return of the Jedi, and so you really just all the characters that are on screen are just a lot of fun, and it's one of the most fun Star Wars movies. I will say it's probably the most fun Star Wars movie. It's a lot more fun than one of the other two of my top two, but not as favorite to me. So that is my number three, is Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. There's my number three. Tyler, number three?
Number three for me is Empire Strikes Back. Fight me now. I'm just kidding. I think this is a fantastic sequel. I'll be perfectly honest with you guys. I've heard from a lot of people that this is one of the best sequels of all time. And what I tried to do when I was making this list was pretend that I'd never heard that before. And that's why it's my number three. I think it's a great movie. And I think it's a great sequel. But I'm not going to put it higher than A New Hope just because it's a great sequel. Because if A New Hope wasn't there, it wouldn't be a great sequel. And that's why A New Hope is higher on the list for me. So I agree with JP in that regard. I think it does rely a lot on what surrounds it. But that also is fantastic. To be a middle movie and to be good is difficult. And it's very, very good. It does a good job of bridging the gaps. It has lots of twists that make sense. The story makes sense. And I think I really just want to hit on the fact that the story makes sense. The story makes sense. Number eight story doesn't make any sense. Sorry. things happen in that movie that make sense to me. You know, Han Solo getting frozen in carbonite makes sense to me. I just, you know, the Empire gets the entire Death Star destroyed and it comes back and tries to fight still. Like, if you think about A New Hope as a standalone movie, it could end there. Oh, the Death Star is done, we're done. Nope. The Empire is a real empire, and it has lots of different, you know, limbs to run off of. And it does, because parts of it survive, and so it continues. The Death Star wasn't the entire empire. It was just part of it. So that makes sense to me. It's a huge deal to me to have conflict that's genuinely conflicting. If it's not conflicting to me, if I can sit there and say, there's such an easy solution, why don't you just do this? Which happens a lot in movies, okay? I want to be very clear about this. In many senses, when you're talking about movies and things, your audience is in an omniscient standpoint where they would think, why don't you just do this? But it's different to say, why don't you just do this because a character doesn't know something, versus why don't you just do this because it's a logical conclusion that any of the characters could have come to. Does that make sense? So I think Empire Strikes Back does a really good job of that. I think there's some really cool settings in this one too. Micah, you mentioned cool settings. Cloud City. I don't think we can go without mentioning Cloud City as a really cool setting.
Oh, I won't. Don't worry.
Good. definitely a cool setting. Hoth is hands down, you know, it's hard to pick a really, like, which opening to Star Wars is best, because I'll tell you what, one thing Star Wars does really well is it starts the movies very well. Like, even, okay, so Attack of the Clones is my number 8 on this list, but the beginning of Attack of the Clones is super cool. It's super cool. In Kamino, you're in the middle of Kamino. The ship blowing up. Oh, my gosh. There's so many cool things.
You mean Coruscant, right?
Yeah, not Kamino. My bad. No worries. Thank you. Yes, Coruscant, which is a planet you kind of want to see, and you get to, which is really cool. And I'm getting off of Empire Strikes Back, but I do really like this one as a bridge the gap type of story. I think one of the things I want to mention too is Luke going to Yoda and finding Yoda. Think about it. Yoda didn't exist until this movie. The fact that a character like Yoda came out of kind of the woodwork, there actually are other Jedis besides Obi-Wan Kenobi left out there. I'm thinking about Yoda. Yoda's exile makes sense. I don't know. I don't want to get too much into this. There's just so many things that I can't stop talking about with The Last Jedi. And so I'm going to stop it there. I think Empire Strikes Back is really cool. There's some sweet, like, the training's really cool. Yoda's a really cool character. The fact that Obi-Wan Kenobi comes back as a Force ghost. Keelan, I like your point about, like, why would Force ghosts be able to influence the physical world? Like, that kind of doesn't make any sense. I really think, I had a theory at one point that Force ghosts was what Emperor Palpatine was talking about. Obviously, episode 9 throws that entirely out the window, but I thought that Emperor Palpatine might be talking about that when he talks about making people immortal. And I thought that was kind of a cool twist to think about if that was the case, because then Obi-Wan Kenobi, of all people, the person that Anakin turned his back on because Palpatine was the one who had this supposed immortal, bringing people back from the dead power, Obi-Wan Kenobi figured it out, and he's the one that gets to be a Force ghost. And so if Anakin would have just stuck with Obi-Wan Kenobi, then he would have been able to do exactly what he would hope he would be able to do. So I always thought that was kind of cool, although that's obviously flipped on its head since then. So
sorry, but his name is actually Obi-Dobi Kenobi, so sorry, I got that wrong. But anyway, Keelan.
The Demmer translation.
Keelan, number 3.
Yeah, well, you bring up an interesting point. I'm curious. I don't know much about outside of the movies. I haven't read many of the books. But Qui-Gon is apparently the first one who, like, understood how to become a Force ghost and stuff. And so it's interesting, you know, the thousands of years before that, what happened to the Jedi, or, you know, all that. Anyway, just talking about the movies, my number 3 is episode 6, Return of the Jedi.
Keelan, yeah. Do we have the same top 3?
I doubt it. No.
No?
Okay. I don't think so. I think our top three have the same three movies.
There
you
go.
But I think our top two are different. Yeah, episode six, yeah, it opens up on such a bang. Rescuing Han is amazing. Same reason why I was so, like, why I liked episode one, Phantom Menace, with how it expanded Tatooine. This did the same thing with the huts and Jabba and how the gangsters lived and stuff. Oh, it's so good. And I think, you know, since this is the last movie in the trilogy, in the original trilogy, you're able to see the transformation that Luke goes through. If you compare this Luke in Return of the Jedi to the Luke in A New Hope, they're vastly different characters. They talk differently. They hold them, like, the way they stand is different. And I think that's such great storytelling. And it's so cool to see how the character that we know and love has transformed. I think it's fantastic. His new lightsaber is really cool, even though, you know, like, it started out because, you know, the fight on Jabba's barge had a blue sky in the background. He was originally supposed to have a blue lightsaber, but the fact that it was hard to see a blue lightsaber with a blue sky background, they changed it to green. I think even though that's like a little detail, I think that like expanded the Star Wars universe in a really cool way, how there's different lightsaber colors instead of just blue and red. Vader turning, the whole last conflict between, you know, when they're on the second Death Star with Luke and with Vader and with the Emperor, and how Vader is trying to toy with Luke and the Emperor is trying to toy with Vader, who's trying to toy with Luke, how it all kind of like intermixes with each other, I think is really, really cool. The way that Vader returns to his original self, Anakin Skywalker, and saves Luke, in the DVD and VHS and all the original versions is really good. I think it's kind of ruined by the Blu-ray versions where they have Darth Vader like cry when he's throwing the Emperor off the balcony. I think it's kind of dumb.
I didn't even know that they did that. That takes me off.
Yeah, it's pretty lame. But I think it's just such a great ending. I do think them bringing back a second Death Star, even though it was like halfway through production, I think that's pretty cheap. I find it entertaining at the same time. You know, the fact that Lando and Nine Nub like drive into the Death Star with the Millennium Falcon, and they actually are in the center of the whole thing. I think that's a cool twist on things. At the same time, it's like, okay, well, we've already destroyed the Death Star. Like, why is this the big climactic finish of the trilogy? I think it could have been something different. The Ewoks, I like the Ewoks. They're cute. They're cuddly. They're fun. The fact that they throw sticks and rocks at stormtroopers and they just roll over and die is really dumb. There's no excuse for that. It's real dumb, in my opinion. But at the end of the day, it's Star Wars, so it's not something that I like. It's not like, oh, that's not realistic enough. Who cares? It's, you know, little bears fighting stormtroopers, so who cares? But yeah, I think it's a very fitting end to the original trilogy. The fact that we get to see Darth Vader return to his original self as Anakin is really good. The only thing I will say is, Mark Hamill, he's a fantastic voice actor, and he's a okay screen actor. This is my least favorite performance from him. He's so deadpan and that might be the way he was supposed to be. The Jedi are supposed to be like, you know, apart from stoic. Emotion, stoic, yes, and stoic. And like, it just doesn't do anything for me. The fact that he is trying so hard to save his dad, and appeal to his good side, but at the same time, he's like, no, there is still good in you. I feel it. And he's just like looking off into the distance. Like, just he shows almost no emotion throughout this whole thing. And so that's why, since that's like the main driving force of this movie, that's why this movie is number three for me. It just lacks emotion, in my opinion. But that being said, I think everything else basically is fantastic, minus the Ewoks throwing rocks and sticks at stormtroopers and killing them, when obviously it doesn't even penetrate their armor. It just seems it's a little too much. Anyway, okay.
JP, number three.
Number three is episode 4, A New Hope. I love the introduction of just every character. I mean, if you... Now that we know, we've seen all 9, we know all the stories, there's prequels and sequels and spinoffs and cartoons and everything to develop the characters even more. But when George Lucas was getting this story together, he was writing it from scratch, which you look at the characters from scratch, you look at the plot, you look at... There's this Death Star planet as a space station type thing. I mean... From scratch, that's just so creative, and for the time that it was in the 70s is just unbelievable. And I've talked to my dad about it because he also saw it in theaters, and he said it was years past it, like past anything. Like it was a years ahead of everything it was competitive with. And so the character development from scratch, I loved Han Solo, just this gunslinger, kind of like a Clint Eastwood of space, is just awesome. It introduces that he is a kind of a bounty hunter type, like he's a smuggler, but there are going to be bounty hunters after him, which sets up episode 5 with Boba Fett and just the Carbonite and everything. And this sets up Jabba the Hutt later with Greedo trying to get him on Tatooine. Yeah, the storyline is incredible. Like Micah and I think a couple of you guys said, is that this episode, you could watch it and you'd be like, that's a great star. That's Star Wars. It's amazing. And you wouldn't need any of the other ones. And then they made all these other ones just for our enjoyment. It's just the introduction of
except for The Last Jedi.
Yes, they could have avoided that one. They didn't need that one. It's just the introduction of just all the Star Wars music. Which I think probably set up even more music for other films, because it was just so iconic that, like, you hear the Imperial March, you know exactly, like, anybody can say, oh, that's Star Wars. Like, you hear the Imperial March, and you're like, oh, that's Star Wars.
It's a banger, man.
And everyone knows it. Like, you could hate Star Wars, and you know the Imperial March. And then the destruction of the first Death Star is amazing. Yeah, just the way they did it, when CGI wasn't this like crazy thing, it was just so cutting edge for their time. The trench, I love that it was kind of like Luke's first thing using the Force. I mean, I know he uses the Force with the little like orb floating thing with the helmet that has the shield blaster thing covered where he can't see, but this is like the first time where he like stretched out, reached out, and you're like, okay, like, where's this story going? And you're like, there's possibilities here. I like that Darth Vader obviously didn't die, that he just gets bumped out and just like goes into space, and you're like, so you know that they could do something with it, but they didn't need to do anything with it. So those are all the reasons I love A New Hope. It was the first one. It has been my number one before, but it is not my number one right now, and it has not been my number one for a while, actually. But
we'll there will be that. A day when it will be my number one, but it's not this day.
We'll get to number one and number two right now.
Okay, here's what we're gonna do. I'm going to tell you my number one before I tell you my number two, and I think we should all do that because we're gonna talk about both of them. What I want to do is I want us to talk about them both together and why you chose one over the other. That being said, we might talk a little bit longer about these last two, but here we go. All right, my number one favorite Star Wars movie of all time is Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. It is my number 8 movie of all time and is my number 2 movie soundtrack of all time. That being said... the number 2 movie soundtrack of all time is tied with my number 2 Star Wars movie, Revenge of the Sith, because I think Revenge of the Sith and Empire Strikes Back have equally good music, way above all of the other Star Wars movies. In third is probably Phantom Menace, and then fourth is probably New Hope. But anyway, I really do think Empire Strikes Back and Revenge of the Sith's music is way better than any of the other Star Wars movies. In Empire Strikes Back, the characters are fantastic. There's a lot of good things that can be said about other sequels, like Toy Story 2 is a fantastic sequel. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is a fantastic sequel. I'm sure there's others that I can't think of right now, but in my opinion, Empire Strikes Back is the greatest sequel ever made. And I know, Tyler, something you said already was, yeah, but it couldn't be good without A New Hope. And to some extent, I agree. Actually, I pretty much wholeheartedly agree with you. But I just really think that The Empire Strikes Back is that good. It has probably the least action out of all of the Star Wars movies. But what sets Revenge of the Sith and Empire Strikes Back above the rest is the tone of these movies. The tone of these movies is perfect for what it needs to do. Empire Strikes Back in particular, the tone is just so... The whole movie is pretty unsettling. You're like, you know, I just don't really feel like anything's done. And that's perfect because it's not the end. But at the same time, there's a lot of, you know, you can breathe now moments. Like at the beginning, after he finally gets Luke back inside from being outside in the, you know, negative million degree weather, he finally is back and you're like, okay, all the heroes are back together again, we're okay. And the Cloud City is fantastic, one of the coolest. Okay, well, Return of the Jedi has cool locations, but I guess Empire Strikes Back is even cooler because Hoth is fantastic. You get more Dagobah, you get Dagobah period, and you get Bespin, the Cloud City, and those are just so cool. The tone of this movie is just so perfect to me, and the pacing of the movie is so good. I know you could probably argue that it's pretty slow, but to me, the characters, the best dialogue in any Star Wars movie is in Empire Strikes Back. It's just fantastic. It flows well. Leia and Han's banter back and forth, how they really love each other, and you know they do, but they're like acting like they hate each other, is hilarious. The Han, I love you, I know, unscripted and fantastic. And it's just, it makes Han Solo the best character in Star Wars, this movie does. And just the fact that they freeze him to like try to see if that you can freeze someone and they don't die because they're going to try it on Luke is just so, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Han Solo is frozen at the end of this movie. I just love it so much. It's the perfect setup for a third movie in a trilogy, and the characters are just, they're unmatched, I think, in any other Star Wars movie. That being said, my number two, Revenge of the Sith, beats Return of the Jedi, A New Hope, The Force Awakens, Phantom Menace, Rise of Skywalker, Attack of the Clones, and The Last Jedi. That's right. A prequel beats all of those. Revenge of the Sith. I said a lot about tone in The Empire Strikes Back. The tone of Revenge of the Sith is fantastic. It's terrifying. It's not terrifying in the sense that, like, jump scare terrifying. It's terrifying in the sense that you know exactly what's going to happen, and you're just hoping that all of your characters that you like come out alive in the end. And some of them don't. it's got the most ambitious Star Wars soundtrack of all time. All of the soundtrack when you're on the lava planet Mustafar is insanely cool. There's so many really cool horns that John Williams uses to just add so much weight. In particular, after Anakin kills all the Separatists and he's just like looking out over the lava, it's called Anakin's Dark Deeds. Listen to the track. There's this epic trumpet part. Da 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 dun. Da 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 dun. Oh man, it's just so scary. And his eyes are like red. Oh man, it's terrifying. All of that to say, this was my number one Star Wars movie before I did the top 10 movies of all time. I then rewatched both of these and decided that number one Star Wars movie, not number one movie of all time. I then decided that Empire Strikes Back was my number one Star Wars movie and my number eight of all time. But Revenge of the Sith, I agree with you, Keelan. The only part about this movie that is a little bit funny or something that I don't like is how Anakin just flips back and forth for like those 5 or 6 or 7 minutes when he's like, no, I have to turn him in. Mace Windu's like, no, stay here. And he's like, okay, fine, I'll stay there. And then he goes, and then he confronts Mace Windu, who's about to kill him. He's like, no, don't kill him. I need him. And he's like, but he's too powerful to be kept alive. And then he's like, no. And then he cuts off his arms, and then he's like, power! And Mace Windu falls out the window, and he's like, what have I done? That whole sequence is kind of cringy, and that's why it's not number one for me.
If Anakin didn't say, if he didn't have that moment of what have I done, it would be a little less excusable. But the fact that he flips back again after that is like, all right, man, what do you want? You know? Anyway.
Yeah. And I think at that point, I don't know if I agree with you there, because at that point he is really saying, what do I want? And he doesn't know. So he just gives up, because the whole time people have been moving his destiny for him. And finally, the first choice he makes for his destiny is the wrong one. And he's like, crap.
Yeah, his line is, I'll do whatever you ask me.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care. I'll do whatever you ask now.
That's a good, that's good.
Yeah. Because really, Obi-Wan was never really his master, if you think about it. He never really controlled Anakin at all.
He's holding me back.
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
I guess he felt more like he was his friend in that, you know, like, why the heck is my best friend like trying to control what I'm doing? Like,
yeah, pretty much.
My life,
yeah.
Man. Yeah.
So remember this too. Obi-Wan is a Padawan in Phantom Menace. He's a Padawan. He still has the little like dingly thing. So they're really not that far apart in age, and it's probably not supposed to be that close in age. Maybe that's why.
They really might only be 5 to 8 years apart, which is not much at all. Like, he's like his older brother. And I disagree with you again, Keelan, on the fact that you had said about Revenge of the Sith that there wasn't much weight in when Obi-Wan says, you are my brother, and all that stuff. I disagree, because I think the Jedi, especially in that time, are supposed to not care about anybody. Obi-Wan really does care about Anakin, and you can really tell, especially when he goes to Padme and he's like, the baby's yours, isn't it? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, if there's anything I can do, like, let me know. He's like, but Anakin's gone down the wrong path. Like, none of the other Jedi would have done that if they were in his position.
That's true. Yeah.
And I mean, that just speaks to Obi-Wan, which is why I'm really excited for that Obi-Wan. It's going to be so nice, dude.
Ewan McGregor.
Oh, man.
If you haven't watched any other Ewan McGregor movies, I suggest just going out and trying to find movies that he's been. He's a phenomenal actor.
Moulin Rouge, The Island.
Angels and Demons.
He's such a good singer, too. Yeah.
Bring up The Rouge. Island is the only good Michael Bay movie, if you ask me. But
Transformers 1?
I can't stand Transformers, but that's a thing for another day. Revenge of the Sith. We're back on Revenge of the Sith. This has the coolest lightsaber fights, period. I think the top three, in my opinion. My fourth favorite being Duel of the Fates, but I think my first favorite is Anakin and Obi-Wan fighting blue lightsaber to blue lightsaber, and they're so stinking evenly matched in the powers of the Force, and it's long and it's lengthy, and one of them ends up having only one limb at the end. It's a good time. My number two favorite is probably Yoda and the Emperor fighting it out, and that is ridiculously cool. The Emperor's like, power, and does his lightning thing, and Yoda just stares him down and absorbs it. Which
sends it right back at him.
Yeah, so awesome. If so powerful you are, why leave? And he lights his... Oh, so great. So many zingers in there. Yeah,
they try to
sass from the little green man.
Fight, and they're like, oh,
cool. So good. And then my number three is General Grievous versus Obi-Wan. The four lightsaber thing is so cool to me, And a lot of people thought it was overkill and were like, okay, come on. You know what I mean? But I thought it was pretty sweet. And he's just like collecting lightsabers of Jedi he's killed. And then he uses them. Doesn't even have his own. Doesn't even have his own red one. Has two green and blue. That is such so cool to me. And Obi-Wan's got great hair. And he does that whole point thing. Oh, it's just great. Yeah. Obi-Wan in this movie is just is so much fun. Plot-wise, of all the Star Wars movies, the most epic things happen in Revenge of the Sith. All of the music after Anakin turns is so good. It gives me goosebumps every time I think about it. And man, the last thing I will say is what the robot says. Ooba.
Ooba.
Ooba. And Leia and Luke are born. So there you go, man. Another thing, though, is, like, why did Padme die?
She was like, so upset that Anakin was just turned to the dark side.
She was just mad and sad. I mean,
bummed out.
I guess that's fine.
She, it was basically 2020 for her.
Oh, that makes sense now.
That's a good point, JP.
Dang.
Also, okay. At the same time, as she was learning all of that information, she was giving birth. So I think that's quite a bit of stress to have on your body. To twins.
Her baby dad tried to kill her. With the force.
Whoops.
Yeah. And then turn to the dark side. Mm-hmm. And then she had to then go through and kill kids who she was delivering.
Whoops.
Man, out of all of the Star Wars movies, if I could pick one right now to watch, I would watch Revenge of the Sith. But the most recent that I have watched is Empire Strikes Back. So I just watched Empire Strikes Back like a month ago. So I'm like ready to watch Revenge of the Sith right now.
Theory moment.
Hit it.
Anakin's agony and turn to the dark side actually had a hand in killing Padme.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because he had such a strong connection to her.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so, so angry. It's the epitome of his angry. Yeah. Of his angriness. Anger.
It's the epitome of his angry.
Angry.
His angriness. Tyler,
that's
number
just
one
the
and two.
I just came up with. Okay, number one and two. So none of us can talk about Revenge of the Sith because Micah absolutely destroyed it.
Ayo, Uba, am I right? I even included Uba.
Yeah. Number one for me is Revenge of the Sith. Number Let's two go. For me is A New Hope. So A New Hope, wait, like I said, I'm going to talk about my number two and then my number one because I'm a rebel. But A New Hope is, now you know what they are anyway. Too much respect for A New Hope. To not have it be up here. I considered having it be number one, but I also thought about it for a minute and I was like, no, it's not my favorite. I would watch it. I absolutely would. And I think I have a lot of respect for it. And I think as a standalone movie, it has so much value. And the fact that it came from nothing means a lot to me as somebody who thinks about potentially writing a story maybe someday. That's incredible that he came up with all that stuff. And the fact that it's sci-fi is a big deal because it's entirely fiction. It's not just like parts of the real world and fiction. It is entirely fiction. Who on earth could think of an X-Wing? Who on earth could think of the Force? Who on earth would think of a lightsaber or a laser? Okay, a laser blaster. Think about it for a second. It's mainstream now. But back then... Was a laser blaster really mainstream? Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think it was. Like, he came up with a lot of really cool stuff.
Invented the word droid.
I didn't even know that, and that's a huge deal.
George Lucas invented the word droid, and now it's half the more than
everyone, you know, carries 70, half the population
70%
carries
an of people in the world. Exactly. Yeah.
That's insane. That's insane. I didn't know that. That's a really good fact. So many of the movies on this list, regardless of where they are based off of the story of A New Hope. And I think that's a big deal. I think that's a huge deal. So all that to say, let's go to Revenge of the Sith. I agree with everything Micah said. I also agree that it can be very difficult to believe the switch. And I was really surprised, if I'm honest with you, when I watched Revenge of the Sith for the first time, that the switch was so quick. like two-thirds of the movie almost, Anakin's still perfectly good. You can see him have the twinges, I guess, of being on the dark side, but that still can be attributed to him starting his training a little bit too late. So the fact that the switch kind of happens in the last third of the movie was kind of surprising to me. I thought the movie was going to be a little bit more of him wrestling like a little bit longer with it. But at the same time, so I think the reason, let me just explain the reason why this is at number one for me, and then I'll explain a little bit more of what I think about Anakin's turning. This is number one for me for a nostalgia reason, and also because I think at the very end of episode three, when I watched it in theaters, I had the most emotional reaction because I was like, it's done. Like, it's happened. And now I know exactly what's going to happen for the next three movies. That's a really cool thing just to have in mind. Like, I know, like, now I know how it started. And now I know exactly what's going to happen in the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And that's really, so I had a really emotional reaction to it. And then also, of course, the emotional reaction of, I don't know if there's going to be another Star Wars, which there were, but yeah, so it is kind of hard to believe Anakin's switch, but at the same time, even though the dialogue was horrible in number two, I think I can understand what they were trying to accomplish with number two. And I think I know why number two had so much screen time for the love story. It's because that was the reason he switched. But it's still like, Micah, you mentioned that his whole life things were decided for him. Like, somebody came and picked him up at his home planet and then brought him and said, you're going to be trained, and then all this stuff. And then he finally makes a decision of his own, and it's the wrong one. And he says, I'll do whatever you ask. And I find that really hard to believe. If you finally made your own decision, wouldn't you want to be free? Wouldn't you want to not be controlled by somebody else anymore? Wouldn't you just kind of go down the path that you want to go? I don't know. It's hard to believe. But at the same time,
he doesn't trust himself because he knows the only decision he made was the ultimate wrong one.
But he also doesn't know that, because the reason he hangs on to Palpatine is because he thinks that Padme can be saved. Then at the end of episode three, he learns that Padme is dead. And so that's where I go, that's the part I'm confused about, is he finds out that Padme's dead. He doesn't need Palpatine anymore. What's his plan now? He's just going to be a bad guy? Like, he's got that much stubbornness in him that he's going to be a bad guy, and he's going to see his son someday and like hate him. part of it's that. The other part of it is, if he has, by the time he actually meets his son, he's had enough time on the dark side for it to be like, he's established himself there. Why would he turn now? I get that. But at the same time, I don't know. It's a mixed bag for me, but at the same time, the reason why he switched is different than the fallout of him switching. The fallout of him switching is super emotional. The fight is amazing. The dialogue between him and Obi-Wan Kenobi, I think, is actually good. I like it a lot. I think it's really emotional and well-selected. And Hayden Christensen's performance when he says, I hate you, is probably the most convincing acting I've seen, period. He looks like he is the most full of hate of anyone I've ever seen on screen. He's drooling. His eyes are red. Like, it's incredible. It's a really good performance. He screams, I hate you. And then, it's super emotional. And you're like, oh my gosh, like, now, and almost, now that I'm sorry, I'm like almost verbally processing this movie. Now I get it. Now I get it. Because he makes the wrong decision. He starts to go on the side of Emperor Palpatine. I don't really understand some of the in-between, because he kills younglings and all that. And that's pretty effing crazy for just making one wrong choice. But then if Obi-Wan Kenobi cut off your arm and both your legs, your arm and both your legs, if Obi-Wan Kenobi could have all those things, I would be pretty mad too. even if I was in the wrong, I'd be pretty mad too. So I get that, and I think I get why he might have revenge. And then to think that Anakin Skywalker in that moment is also thinking Padme's never going to be on my side ever again. Like, Obi-Wan Kenobi is for sure going to be the one she goes to, the one that cut off my arms and my legs and my arm. And I mean, he's got to be just livid. I can see that being a lifelong thing. Sorry. I'm just, number one is Revenge of the Sith. Number two is A New Hope.
No worries. No, that was good. I just really like that movie, Revenge of the Sith. I don't want to say more though. Keelan, one and two.
Yeah. Yeah. Padme dying would be a great way for Anakin to turn to the dark side, but that's not how it worked out. Anyway, number one for me, episode four, A New Hope. I think the reason I changed this, I think maybe 15 to 20 minutes after we started this episode, I was really on the fence between episode four and episode five as my favorite.
Wow.
The thing is that episode four, if you had listened to our Once Upon a Time in Hollywood review, you will know that episode four for a very, very long time was my favorite movie of all time. And I think because of that, it's comfort food for me. I remember going to sleep. Growing up, we had always listened to music. From as far back as I remember, we always would listen to music as we went to sleep. And then once we got a TV in our own room, we would watch movies until we went to bed. And so there was always some sort of audio simulation that helped us fall asleep. A New Hope was the movie that I watched most when I wanted to go to sleep. And that's not to say the movie's boring and that it puts me to sleep or anything. But I think it, obviously, since it's the first movie in, a series or it's the first movie or the first introduction into a whole new world, there's a lot of world building that happens. Luke is moisture farming, as we talked about before. He's with his aunt and uncle, and he's trying to make a living for himself and for his family. And then he goes into Mos Eisley, and he goes into the cantina, and he's hanging out with people who live in the world, and they're all acting as if they have lived in the world. And that is some of my favorite form of storytelling. It's why I like the Fellowship of the Ring so much, because it spends so much time in the Shire. And it has characters living the life that they would normally live. And I think that adds weight to the rest of the story. When things start to go awry and when characters have to act out of their comfort zone, I think the only way that is successful is when we already know how they act in the normal world. And so seeing Luke and his family live on Tatooine and how they go about their daily lives and how everything gets uprooted and how they have to go on this big adventure, I think it's very great storytelling. And that's not exclusive to Star Wars by any means. I mean, most fantasy or I don't know, any otherworldly storytelling goes, you have to establish the world. And I think A New Hope does such a fantastic job at establishing the world of Star Wars throughout the entire thing. I just love it. The characters are great. The dialogue is cheesy, but it's also witty at times, and I appreciate that. And I think the trench run, there's I don't know what the soundtrack is called, the specific track that plays from the beginning of the Death Star assault all the way up until the end, is just, it's so great. And whenever I play Battlefront or Battlefront 2 on PS4, I always have that in the background, or I always include that in my playlist of music that I play when I play those games. It's very great music. It's very great storytelling. It's great, very great world building. I love it a lot. So episode four is my number one. And that, some of that might stem from the fact that I have watched Empire of Dreams, basically as much as I've watched the original trilogy. I love that documentary. I'm a media arts major, so I eat that kind of behind the scenes stuff up. Love it a whole lot. It's great stuff. So yeah, my number two is episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. It's one of the best sequels ever made. The music, the story choices, the fact that it ends and all hope is lost, basically, it is just like phenomenal storytelling. And everything that it introduces in that movie only adds to Star Wars as a whole. And none of it like detracts from it. I think some of the things that they introduce in the prequel trilogy kind of detracts from it to a certain extent. They introduce a lot of new stuff for sure, but they try to change a lot of things. The fact that episode 5 is, well, obviously it's right after episode 4. It builds up on what the predecessor set out to do, and it just makes it so much more interesting, and it expands it. And I mean, not to mention, we talked about it a little bit, but Cloud City is amazing. It's one of my favorite settings in Star Wars as a whole. You go back to even Lego Star Wars. Cloud City Bespin is one of my favorite levels to play. We go back to Battlefront, into the 2015 reboot of Battlefront. Bespin offered some of the best gameplay and best setting for playing the game. It's just phenomenal. And not to mention, it just got so dark. And that's not to say that like dark storytelling is better than any other storytelling or anything, but it showed that Star Wars, which, you know, the original A New Hope was great for everyone because of the special effects and all that stuff and the music and the characters and the world and everything. But I can imagine that most of the people who were like super, super into it were kids, right? And so Empire Strikes Back comes around and it's like, no, hold on. Yeah, you know, your kids like it. That's fine. That's great. Here's the thing. This story is going to go deep. We're going to offer twists and turns, and even to the parents who bring their kids to watch these movies, there's going to be something for them that's going to like blow their socks off, you know? It's great. It added so much. The fight between Vader and Luke was fantastic. There's a lot of emotion in there, and especially when you go back and rewatch it after you find out that Vader is Luke's dad. Just crazy. The romantic relationship between Han and Leia was fantastic. You could tell in the beginning that, you know, obviously, they weren't like super jiving with each other. That was established at the beginning of the movie. Leia had one idea of how to run the Rebel Alliance, and Han was very against it. But you know, circumstances arise and they have to end up working together, and that comes together in one of the most romantic movie romances that you can think of. Very good. So I really liked it. It was very dark. The drama was there. The world building was there. Fantastic. Very much liked it. The reason why it's number two instead of number one, I'm very much a fan of the ensemble cast, and I think it worked out really well for episode 5 for Empire Strikes Back. But when they split up the cast, you lose some of that chemistry. You know, they make that up with C-3PO and Han and Leia and Chewie and all that. But when you have the lead character missing from the ensemble, you notice that. And I think that was very intentional. And I think they accomplished what they wanted to do. That's why it's number two. Why episode four is number one is because I enjoy all the characters working together. I enjoy the world building. I enjoy the simplicity of the beginning of the movie and the introduction to my favorite universe of all time in terms of storytelling. So that is why episode four is my number one and episode five is my number two. Moving on, let's go.
Love it. JP, one and two.
One and two. My favorite Star Wars movie is Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. And my second favorite is Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. We will start with Return of the Jedi. The last scenes, the battles, the Battle of Endor, the battle outside the Death Star when the shield is still up before they can get into the core of the Death Star, and then the battle, even though the lightsaber fighting hasn't begun, but still the battle that's happening in the Death Star with Darth Vader and Luke and the Emperor is just incredible. It's my favorite multi-battle scene at the same time. Star Wars does a great job of that in multiple episodes where they have multiple battles going on at the same time, but that is my favorite one. The Battle of Endor. I know, Keelan, you said that you don't like the whole like rocks and sticks thing. I actually love that. And the reason being is because it's so relatable to what I could do at my house. if my brothers and I wanted to play Star Wars, we could do what we could like recreate the Battle of Endor. We lived out in the country. We live in the in the Pacific Northwest where there are trees. Like Endor reminds me of home. It looks like the Redwoods. We live just a little bit north of the Redwoods. And it's gorgeous. I love just all the green. I love all the trees of Endor. It's probably my favorite planet. Tatooine has a lot of like history and story behind it, but Endor is probably my favorite just like visual planet to look at. But the Ewoks, they're cute, they're cuddly, that's been said, but I love the battle. I love how when they're like launching trees attached to ropes and destroying the AT walkers, they like it's almost like you're pranking someone. And I think that's realistic to what a little kid would do, is you just are pranking all the stormtroopers. So that's what I enjoy about Return of the Jedi. And it has everything. It's got action, it's got drama, it's got romance, it's got comedy, it's got suspense. It's filled with everything you want in a great movie. I love just like the battle that Luke is in. And I think Keelan, you were saying it, is that when Luke throws the he throws his lightsaber and he's like, I'm done fighting. I don't see that so much of I'm done fighting, it's not worth it to fight. I think it's more of a I will choose death over killing family, or I will choose death over I'll choose death over going to the dark side. I don't care, you can kill me, that's fine. I'm not gonna do what you want. And I think that's a beautiful thing. It's the same thing, it's got just classic music throughout the entire thing. Which I love. It's in my opinion, the best story flow. It just connects the pieces and ends it just perfectly. Very similar to how A New Hope could have been a standalone. But if you want to do a trilogy, this one does it so amazingly. I think Toy Story is another one that does it just fantastically well. Obviously, they created a fourth one. But I think Star Wars, I think how they end episode six is probably one of the greatest endings of any trilogy out there. And then I love the action aspect of it. And this episode has everything. We've talked a lot about Jabba's palace. The introduction right off the get-go, you're in this desert and you're on these, his like, hotel, like yacht party boat speeder things. And it's very combat hands battle. It's not so much like spaceships or anything like that flying around, which is pretty cool. But then the speeder battle on Endor when they first get there, and you have the stormtroopers on the speeders, and then you have Luke and Leia on the speeders. Like, who wouldn't want to be on a speeder? It's the same idea as like when Anakin races off to go save his mom and on a speeder, and you're just like, I just want a speeder. Like, I don't know about you, but growing up, if there was one thing that I could have, it would have been a speeder. It would have been just awesome. The lightsaber fights, the lightsaber fight with Luke and Darth Vader was way better in the Return of the Jedi than any of the other ones in 4 or 5. I think just the choreography was excellent. The electricity that Palpatine does with against Luke was just a great add to it. Just like this almost like superpower that he has, lightsaber almost instincts, but in his like coursing through his veins. And that's just showing how powerful the Emperor truly is. And even though the Death Star is kind of a repeat of the New Hope, it is a repeat, to see how it's not fully completed, but it's still functional, and to see it actually kill one of the Rebel Alliance's ships, I think that was a cool add. It was in A New Hope, it was just a planet killer. Nothing's just a planet killer, but it was a planet killer. And I think adding that aspect of it's not even that complete, but it's operational, and to destroy it, you have to go to the core of it, and it was wiping out Rebel ships. I think that was a cool add to it, even though it was a second Death Star. So Return of the Jedi is my favorite Star Wars movie, and it has been for a very long time. I think it's always been my favorite one. Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, is my second favorite. It is the best action Star Wars movie of all of them, and it's not close. It has the best opening scene, in my opinion, of any of them. Star Wars is iconic for always having a ship to introduce the movie right at the beginning, and it doesn't skip a beat. Like, it hooks you from the first 5 seconds when Anakin and Obi-Wan are flying, and they just peel around the corner of that top of the cruiser ship, and they are in the heart of a battle over Coruscant, I believe. And I it's my favorite intro. I remember going and watching this in the theater. If it wasn't opening night, it was the next day. I was a sixth grader. I loved it. It was amazing. The battle music has already been said. The choreography with Anakin and Obi-Wan was incredible on the Mustafar system. The music throughout the movie is, like we've said before, it was just bangers. yeah, bangers. But it built the suspense of the height and the suspense of the movie so much. And it just tied together how impactful each lightsaber fight was, specifically at the end with Anakin and Obi-Wan, and then the Palpatine and Yoda. Just the music tied together everything so well. The addition of General Grievous, I thought, was actually a great addition. No one knew about him before this episode, and he died in the middle of the episode, and that was okay. It wasn't like Snoke, where they introduce him and then kill him off, and there's no story. Like, General Grievous is just this like bad dude who's a coward who always runs, and he did exactly that in the movie. So they stuck very much to the plot of who he was, or the character development of who he is and who he was, which I really enjoyed. Anakin, I understand where some of you guys are coming from, of the flip-flop of Anakin's character, of how he goes back and forth between light and dark, and he's like, I made a good decision. No, I didn't make a good decision. I should have killed him. No, I should have saved him. And I think that's, I love that, honestly, because it's almost like having that angel and the demon on your two shoulders, and it's just like the battle between darkness and light is just a great story. And you know he's, that's the crazy part, is you know he's going to choose the dark side because he's Darth Vader. And you already know that because 4, 5, and 6 came out 30, 40 years earlier. And you know that. But at the same time, you still feel the suspense of it. And I think that's why they were going back and forth so much, is because they needed to build that suspense. Like, when is that final tipping point going to happen? And I almost feel like Anakin sold his soul to the devil, which was Palpatine, when he said, like, I'll do whatever you want, but only if you help me save Padme, who was his true love. And I think, to Micah's point, is like, or Tyler's point, I can't remember who said it, was why they put so much of that love romance part in episode 2, which I wish they wouldn't have done so much of that, but I understand it watching episode 3, just the connection they had, and that's one of the driving forces that happened of why Anakin turned to the dark side. Let's see, what was the other thing? Just Anakin wrestling with himself. The other Jedis, I loved actually how the other Jedis didn't trust Anakin throughout the whole thing. They sensed that darkness in him, especially Mace Windu and especially Yoda. But then Obi-Wan's just constant hope in Anakin was something that I love. And just, I think that really tied the bond between them, of Obi-Wan just wanted Anakin to be good so badly. He was the chosen one and everything. He was supposed to be, at least. And instead, he betrayed them. He was like a brother. And just when Anakin, like you guys were saying, when he said, like, I hate you, like, you felt that, and you're just like, you felt for Obi-Wan, like, if that was your brother telling you you hate them. And so I think that was just an incredible part. But Revenge of the Sith, second favorite Star Wars, excellent movie. But to top it off is Return of the Jedi. I think it's just amazing. I think I watched it for the first time when I was 6, 7 years old, and it's used to be a top 5 movie. But now I've seen more movies as I've gotten older. So there it is, Star Wars rankings.
That's awesome, man. Can you believe it? Can you guys believe that all four of us have different number ones?
I know.
Whoa.
But we have very similar ideas about the trilogies, which I think what you wanted to go into next.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So I think it's just really cool that, you know, three of us thought that Last Jedi was the worst, and that's fine. Keelan
and correct
is
Keelan's wrong.
Yeah, okay.
I just met you, but you are wrong.
But also, I just want to point out that I thought it was really cool. I thought maybe there would be two different number ones, but there are four different number ones, and I think that's awesome. So that being said, it seems like the consensus is that the original trilogy is the best, the prequel trilogy is the second best, and the newest trilogy is the third best. And with that in mind, that is what we've come to with a Flicks and Clicks consensus. So with that in mind, let's just talk about it a little bit. Yeah, let's just kick it around. We won't go in order. What do you guys think? Why? Well, let's just do this. Why is the original trilogy the best?
I think the original trilogy is the best because, at least from my understanding from the Empire of Dreams documentary, which I think everyone should watch on Disney Plus, George Lucas had a overarching story, and he, within writing it, he said, okay, you know, this thing is a little more ambitious than I thought, so we'll break it up into three, and we'll tell the first story, and if everything takes off and everything works well, then we'll make the second and the third one. And so they had a very concise story that they wanted to tell. I don't know how much it differentiated from his original vision or whatnot. That's why I think the original trilogy is the best, because I think they had a good picture of what they wanted the story to be. The prequel trilogy, they wanted to set everything up, and I think they did a decent job. Whatever, who cares? The sequel trilogy, the reason why I think that one's the worst is because they had no idea whatsoever what they wanted to do.
Yep.
And they're like, well, people like Star Wars, so let's make more Star Wars. We'll make a first 100%. One, and then maybe by the time the first one is done, we'll understand what to do with the next one. And then they're like, well, we don't really know what to do with the next one, so maybe by the time we're done with the next one, we'll know how to close off everything. And what? And maybe they thought, maybe, you know, we'll close off the sequel trilogy. No, they're closing off the entire saga. That 9 films. that they have to close off, and they had I don't think they had any idea what they were doing, and I think they had very talented people behind the pen and who wrote the scripts and who were, you know, who were directing it and all that stuff. I think they're all great directors, writers. Who cares? I just think none of them worked together in a way that made sense, and the sequel trilogy was very disjointed and made no sense when you put it together, and especially when you put it together with the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy. It just, there's no reason for it to exist.
Keelan drops the mic. For me, I think something that you guys mentioned that you don't like is the politics in 1, 2, and 3. I really like the politics in 1, 2, and 3. I like it so much that it's hard for me to not rank it as my favorite trilogy. I know that that's crazy, but, and I know that 3 out of the top 4 of my favorite Star Wars movies are the old trilogy, are the original trilogy, but the politics and what's going on and the hustle and bustle of the Jedi having this big, you know, head kind of too powerful way in society, and how people kind of look down on them for that and are kind of like, ah, they're just kind of sketchy dudes with too much power. That makes sense. And that's cool to me. And I love that. And that is so different from the rest of Star Wars. That it's really, really cool to me. So every time, you know, I feel like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are all pretty similar as far as like politics goes. You know, it's like rebels and versus the Empire, and then it's like the new rebels versus the new Empire, and that's pretty much it. But it's a lot more muddy in 1, 2, and 3. It's a lot more muddy because worlds are a lot more connected than they are in 4 through 9. And the connection and all of that and where Anakin's place is in all of that is really, really cool to me. So that's all I'll say. That's kind of all I wanted to say on trilogies. But JP, you have something?
I just realized something that I didn't mention about episode 3, and I don't know if any of us mentioned
it.
Is Order 66.
Ooh.
Like, Order 66 was the craziest part in that. Because, and I think this goes into the trilogy thing, what I was going to say is, like, the original trilogy is my favorite because it's just so timeless. Like, you just can't beat it. Of when it came out and everything, it holds so true for so many years. It's very much like music from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Like, people still listen to those music now, but a song that came out in 2010, no one's going to listen to. But with the trilogy that came out, the prequel trilogy, so episodes 1, 2, and 3, I think that what's crazy about those ones is they had to set up a story that was already written, and they actually did it very well. And I think that's a very hard thing to do, is to set up a story that you already know the ending to and to write a backstory. So I applaud them for doing that, but I still give it to the original trilogy. The next trilogy, I mean,
next meaning which one?
The episode 7, 8, and 9.
Okay.
They set themselves up for failure right away. The reason why they set themselves up for failure is because they left too many cliffhangers. Like, right away, they had, who is Snoke? Who is Rey? Are they going to win? And all these different cliffhangers, where all the episodes beforehand, at the very most, they had one cliffhanger. So there was the cliffhanger of, oh man, Darth Vader's Luke's dad. Okay, what's going to happen to Han? Other than that, there really weren't cliffhangers on any other thing. On episode 7, you left the theater having dozens of questions of who is who and what's going to happen.
That's fair.
And they dug themselves a hole right away, which, like you guys said, they didn't have a clear story. Their writers all were like, hey, you write something, you write something, you write something. Hopefully they line up.
Keelan?
I want to say something that I didn't bring up that I meant to bring up in my ranking of The Last Jedi, which was, again, number 6 in my ranking.
We all have the problems.
what they introduced, which
obvious,
which was I don't know, kind of maybe introduced in the prequel trilogy, but you don't have to be of a certain bloodline to be force sensitive, and they, you know, they capitalized that on episode 9 and stuff. I really like that idea that the force isn't, you know, it doesn't choose, you know, okay, well, your dad was, you know, the senator of this planet or the president of, who, you know, who cares? Like, it's much more nuanced than that, and I like the idea. A lot of people throw the broom kid at the end of The Last Jedi in The Last Jedi's face as if that's like a bad part of the movie, and it's like, well, who the heck is this guy? Why does he get to use the Force? And it's like, you watch the prequels. There's thousands of people who get to use the Force. Like, why do you care who gets? I really like that, and I think the fact that it kind of broadens the spec, the, you know, anyone can use the Force. If you're born Force sensitive, you're Force sensitive. You know, that's just the way it is, and I really appreciate that. Anyway, that's kind of a side tangent, and I just came up, like, I just thought about that when we were talking about that. But anyway,
Tyler, take us home.
All right. So it's funny that you say that, Micah, what you said earlier, which is that the original trilogy and then sequel trilogy are kind of similar, because I actually see it as, a pretty continuity, like a pretty continuous first six. And then I see the last one as a different trilogy. I don't know if JP, you mentioned that, but that's kind of how I see it too. And I think they all play off each other really well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then I think 7, 8, and 9 are kind of their own thing. And they have characters from the old ones, but they're not, there's a pretty big gap. But yeah.
I was kind of referring to like the politics in each one, and was the state of the world, basically, not like the continuity or feel of the movies. I was mostly talking about like politics and how 1, 2, and 3 are so different in the politics realm than 4 through 9.
Right.
I totally agree with what you and JP are saying though, and how 1 through 6 is a lot more, continuity based. Mm-hmm. So dang. Any other thoughts on trilogies? We are pushing 3 hours. Can you believe that? That's a long time. We are mega nerds.
Star Wars is a great
Star hour, Wars is a lot an hour of fun. For every trilogy. I think that's fitting.
I think it is too. I think we don't ever have to talk about any Star Wars ever again, except for the new Obi-Wan and Mandalorian and all that good stuff that's coming out. Because we're nerds. I'm sure we'll be talking about it at some point.
And how I can't help myself but say that Rogue One would be at number one if it was part of this, but just saying.
Would you think it would be number one?
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you.
You love it that much.
We'll have to have an episode about it.
Dang, Rogue One. I need to watch Rogue One again.
I have Rogue One at number 3.
Fantastic. Holy smokes. Film. Holy smokes.
When you know exactly what's going to happen and it still blows your mind, you know it's a great movie.
Yeah, JP, you're going to have to be on that one too. We should have a whole episode about that movie. I think we could do it.
I could also join on The Mandalorian because yes. I have so much to say about The Mandalorian.
Star Wars spinoff episode.
We found our Star Wars crew right here. We found it. This is us.
I love it.
Plus one.
Plus maybe. Plus one. Yeah. Wait, who?
Jordan?
Bill?
We need to get Jordan on here,
too. We should
too,
definitely
sure.
get Jordan in here, should. Dude. That would be legit. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks so much for tuning in to Flicks and Clicks. We love you
mm-hmm. so much.
Catch us on social medias, on the Twitters and the Instagrams at Flicks and Clicks on those. One of them
is
an underscore.
Flicks
I can't
and Clicks
remember
on
which.
Both.
I think it's at Flicks.
It's at Flicks and Clicks on
and click and underscore something. If you search Flicks and Clicks with X's, chances are you'll find it.
At Flicks and Clicks on Twitter for sure. FLIXANDCLIX.
If that's the case, then on Instagram it is FLIX_and_CLIX. So catch us on those.
Follow, like.
If you hated our rankings or someone in particular's ranking, like maybe you thought Last Jedi was your favorite and you want to rip me, Tyler, and JP a new one, you are more than welcome to on the social media.
Go ahead, embarrass yourself.
Just you make sure alone. You like, subscribe, and hit that bell before you do. Am I right, guys?
That's right.
You are alone if you do. You're like Luke Skywalker in that episode.
You're
alone
just like,
on an island.
Just like all of the dark hooded monk Sith monks. That's what you're like.
What's our musical called again?
Our musical, the monk Sith, the musical.
Star
the
Wars.
Monk, the Sith monk. The monk Sith monk, Sith. The musical.
Sith monks.
Anyway, thanks so much for joining us. We will catch you on the flippity flip.
I thought maybe if we was having a roast chicken one night or something.